The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, it has been. I have learned a lot. And it really was the prayer of our hearts going into this month and having Alan come, that we would have a different perspective on the prophetic, that God would give us some deeper levels of understanding. Dave team teached with Dan Peters to kick off the series. How many of you heard Dan's word? How many of you were like encouraged and you're still chewing on it?
Come on.
Like, yeah. And so if you didn't get a chance to hear it, it's online. But it was just an excellent, for me, it started off the month shifting the way that we'd look at the prophetic. He talked about prophetic imagination, and it just stirred some things in me. Alan came, we had the conference with Alan, and I thought it was really interesting that Alan's teaching around the prophetic really was talking about how it's shifting. How the, you know, the movement, the prophetic, or the prophetic movement started with having the guy or the guys, or maybe in some churches gals, who could prophesy, and that it was really built around a personality or person that could prophesy, but that in this season it's about being a prophetic people. More and more. And I think that's something that we've been forerunners in at Living Waters, that we have developed a prophetic culture that really believes that all of us can hear the voice of God, all of us can speak the heart of God, that He wants to talk to us in that way. And so I just feel like there's even more of that coming, more revelation of what it means to be a prophetic people. My dad spoke, my dad and Colleen, Pastor Bob and Colleen were here last couple weekends, but he spoke and he talked about, which none of us are surprised by, he talked about pulling the future into your present. He talked about, in some ways, kind of laid the foundation for what I want to talk about today, but he talked about the reality that when we have a prophetic word, when the Lord is speaking something, that we play a part in bringing that into our reality, that we, there's a responsibility that we have in doing that. And so he actually, I almost felt like I had to go back to the drawing board because he touched on some things, but I feel okay, like this won't be too much review today, because I want to talk a little bit about how we carry the word of the Lord. How do we walk out when the Lord's been speaking something to us? How do we walk that out? So, because I have to and I can't help myself, I'm just going to give a really brief foundation around what I'm talking about when we talk about prophecy or the prophetic word or the word of the Lord, because I want us to be talking about the same thing today as we're having this dialogue. So when I look at the references in the New Testament around prophecy, here's what those Greek words mean. The gift of communicating revealed truth. It involves divinely empowered forth-telling, which is asserting the mind of God. It's forth-telling. This is the mind of God. This is what God thinks about this. And foretelling, which is saying this is something that God is going to do, or this is something that's going to happen. It's a discourse emanating from the divine inspiration. So basically it means it comes by the Holy Spirit, declaring the purposes of God. And I really believe that the Lord is constantly speaking prophetically into our lives. If we're having an active relationship with Him, He's constantly speaking things to us so that we can declare the purposes of God over a given situation, so that we can declare the purposes of God in a given season in our own lives, so that we can encourage one another with that. My dad touched on that. If we look at 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 3, it just talks a little bit about the purpose of prophecy. But it starts with this: pursue love, desire spiritual gifts. And this is I'm always going to come down to this as my foundation, that two-word little piece of scripture has created this foundation in my life that says every gift that God wants to give us, we should desire, but that we should be pursuing love as the foundation of that gift. And so the same is true with prophecy. When God is speaking to us, it comes to speak the mysteries of God. It comes to speak the truth about what God wants to do. But more than anything else, it comes to demonstrate and show the character of God and the love of God in our lives. And so prophecy, it talks about in, I should thank you because I'm coming back to that now. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So yes, we all have different gifts and in varying degrees, but that we should especially desire that we can prophesy. Because why? Because it's allowing us to declare the heart of God. It's allowing us to line up with the language of God, with the things that God wants to do. It talks about, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. And so that's kind of our litmus test. Is it edifying? Is it encouraging and exhorting? And is it bringing comfort to men? Now, how many of us know that it's sometimes probably either or? Because how many of you have had prophecies that aren't particularly comfortable? Didn't particularly bring like, oh, that feels great. But was it exhorting? Did it edify you? Did it build you up? Did it cause you to press into the Lord? So that's the purpose. That's how we see that. One thing that I just want to pull out that I have to study more, so I'm not going to really go that much in depth in, but there's a verse in Revelations 19:10, and it's John speaking. He said, I fell at his feet to worship him. This was an angel. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That has just been playing in my heart. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so that's the purpose of prophecy, is that it reveals who Jesus is, what he wants to do on the earth, what he wants to do in our situation. And that needs to be the ultimate focus of where it leads us. Does that mean that every prophecy is about Jesus? No. It just means that it's bringing about something of who he is, and that ultimately it's for his glory. I think sometimes we forget that that's what the gifts are for. They're for the sake of bringing Jesus to earth. They're for the sake of walking out who he is on the earth, of bringing his kingdom to earth. And I know for me, I can forget sometimes that that's the purpose of the prophetic word over my life. Sometimes I go, oh, I just need a word so I feel good about the situation. But if I come to the Lord and I say, Lord, how do you want to reveal Jesus in this situation? It's a whole different way of receiving what he wants to give us. So that's the word of prophecy. Everything in the Old Testament is a prophetic picture of who Jesus is. It was a prophetic picture of why we needed him and who he was. And that hasn't changed. The spirit of prophecy is still the testimony of Jesus. And so that's an exciting part of what we get to carry when we're carrying the word of the Lord. I like how Dave reminds us that it's not a happy heralds bless me club, which I don't know that I've ever been to Happy Heralds. I think probably it closed before I was born. But I get the gist of it. The gist of it is it's not about us. That the gift of prophecy and receiving and carrying the word of the Lord has a purpose beyond just us. It brings pleasure to us, to be able to walk with the Lord in that way. But that we need to be reminded that the purpose of it is to bring Jesus to these circumstances and these situations. So as we even press into being a prophetic people, that means we're a people that brings and reveals the nature of Jesus in that. So for us here, if you've been coming at all to Living Waters, you know that we believe that God speaks to us. We believe that God speaks to us corporately as a body, but we believe that God speaks to us individually, that we have this kind of dialogue with God and this relationship with God. Any of our inner healing ministries are aimed at allowing the Lord, when we're working through pain, when we're working through things that need healing, they're aimed at allowing the Lord to speak to us about that situation. And to speak to us about what he wants to do there, to apply Jesus to that. And so we believe that God wants to speak to us. We believe that God wants to speak to you. That when your financial situation is, when you're struggling in that, that God wants to speak to you prophetically. He wants to reveal his heart to you about your finances. When your kids are in a tough way and there's stuff going on and it's scary and it's looking, you know, like they're lost, and that God wants to give you a word that's going to let you know what he wants to do in that situation. We believe that God wants to speak to us in that. And so it's food for our lives here. This is what we live on, not just this word of God, because God's speaking all throughout this word for sure. We believe that God wants to speak to you through this word. It's really skinny, but it's actually a Bible, just saying. Which means the words are really tiny, because I lost my other Bible, and so we'll see how I do today. But he wants to speak to you through this. That there's words in this word that tell me something about the next year of my life, and he wants to pull them out for me. But also that he wants to speak to you in your spirit the truths about things he wants to do in your life. So we believe that. We believe he's constantly speaking. The word says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That word proceeds is a kind of verb that we don't have. It's a present continual tense. It means proceeds and continues to proceed and is still proceeding. We live on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, but that is continuing to proceed from the mouth of God. And that's bread to us. I was talking with someone that isn't something that they're very familiar with in their own church, and they're in a leadership position there, and I was talking to them about, you know, the prophetic conference and just explaining about how, you know, Alan's coming, and they're going, well, what do you, he just stands and prophesies the whole time, or what, you know, and so we're talking about it, and I began talking about how, you know, we really believe all of us can prophesy, you know, that there's, you know, we've really cultivated a culture of that, and she said, ooh, that sounds dangerous. And I stopped for a minute, and I wanted to say, like, dangerous to the enemy? Dangerous? Is that what you mean? But that's not what she meant. But it's not dangerous, because we have guardrails in that. We have guardrails, because I said, well, what do you mean? Why does that sound dangerous? Well, it just sounds like people could just take off with how they feel and just be led by their feelings. And you know, sure, that's a danger, but we have guardrails for that. One of the guardrails is Scripture. And so I loved what Alan said. The Bible is the prime dimension of the Word of God. Prophecy is secondary. And so there's this guardrail that we have that goes, here's the character, the nature, some of the things that God has said. Does this line up with that? So that becomes a guardrail for us. And in fact, we need to be rooted in the Word to be able to hear the Word of the Lord in this season. Yeah. We need to know this to know that. And I find the more I'm in the Word, the written Word, the easier it is for me to hear him in the moment. Because it's all prophecy. It's all hearing the word of the Lord. And the more I know this, the more confident I am when I'm hearing from him that, yes, that's the word of the Lord. Why? Because it lines up with this.
Yeah, right. That's good. That's right.
Because it sounds like the God that I'm reading about here. So we're rooted in Scripture, and that keeps us from being led by our feelings, at least not led into the ditches. The other guardrail we have is community. That hearing the word of the Lord is not an isolated, independent experience. Absolutely, God speaks things to us. He speaks things to us in our secret place that are just between us and God. But when it comes to a word of prophecy over our lives, the safety for us is that we have community in our lives that we bring that to. We have people that we can trust and we can say, this is what I'm hearing from the Lord. The Lord was speaking to me and he said this. Is that crazy? Do you think that's crazy? And hopefully we have prophetic people in our lives that can encourage us in that, that can speak into that, that can help us see where that lines up with Scripture, that can say, I see that in you. No, that's not crazy. I see that in you too. And we have community, not just as accountability to keep us out of the ditches, but we have community to remind us of what the Lord has said to us. There's things that, you know, if the Lord said things to me and they're kind of out there, like sometimes I just want to tell someone else so somebody else knows so they can remind me of what the Lord said when I chicken out or when I'm feeling down or when I'm not moving forward or I'm feeling afraid or whatever, they can say, remember what the Lord told you? Remember what he said about you? Remember what he said about that situation? So we have that as our guardrails. We have Scripture, we have community. There might be other things, but to me, those are the things that keep us in a place both of staying out of the ditches, but also in moving forward and carrying the word of the Lord. That's the role of those things. And here's the reality. There's a huge difference between receiving the word and carrying the word. Dave said at prayer on Thursday, there's a difference between receiving the land and possessing the land, right? And so one of the things that's in my heart is, Lord, how do we carry your word? Because we have to know how to carry the word of the Lord to be able to step into it. It isn't like something, and here's why. Because God wants to partner with us in that way. Otherwise, we'd be like, thanks for the word, God. Let me know when it comes. You know what I mean? And I have treated the word of the Lord that way. I've had things spoken prophetically into me. I go, oh, that's so cool. I love that. God, you're so good. Let me know when it's on the doorstep, and I'll be all about it. And really, having a prophetic word spoken into our lives, whether it's by another person or whether it's a word that the Lord's speaking directly to us, is an invitation to now deeper intimacy with the Lord while we carry that out.
Yeah.
It's an invitation. Do you know that I think, I don't know if I'd make it a blanket statement, but I think he cares less about the thing that's going to happen in the word than he does about the relationship that's formed with us as we walk out that with him, as we step into faith, as we grow into it, as we come to him and are desperate for him to show up in that, and there's this intimacy that's built. That's his heart. It's always been about that. His whole relationship with Adam, with mankind, with Adam and Eve, was to create and then to breathe life into them. And then now, he prophesied over them. Do you know that's one of the first things that God did over Adam and Eve? Fill the earth. Multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. He prophesied over them. And what happened was, is they thought they could do it apart from him. But he was inviting them into doing it together with him.
Right. Yeah.
The great sadness was that they thought we need something else to be able to step into this. And so we don't want to walk that way. We want to continue to know that when he speaks the word to us, that those words have to abide in us. When those words, in John 15:7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. We love that part that says we'll ask what we want and it'll be done. That's our faith statement. But the rest of the verse has to do with letting the word of the Lord abide in us, that we carry the word of the Lord. Do you know that if I carry the word of the Lord, then my desires are his desires? So when it says, if you ask what you desire, my prayer has been, God, let me desire what you desire, because that's what I want to ask for. And that's the way we can carry the word of the Lord. It's interesting, leading up to the prophetic conference when Ellen's going to be here. And you know, for those of you that have been there, you know, you're kind of like, I wonder if I'm going to get a word. You know, you're kind of thinking, you're there, and like, don't make eye contact, but kind of, I want a word. And you know, so as we were coming to the conference, there was this thing in me that was like, I don't need a word. I need to know what to do with the word I have. You know what I mean? Like, please do not give me another word. I haven't used the one you gave me last time, is kind of how I felt. And I think a little bit, that's where we're at. Sometimes we don't need another word from the Lord. We need to know what to do with the one we have, or the ones we've been given. And so, Dave Ramsey, do you know his Financial Peace University is not about how to get more money. It's not, that's not what he's about. He believes that Americans can have access to money. They just don't know what to do with it when they have it. And so sometimes we can be like that in the church. It's not about, how do I get more of the gifts? How do I get more of the presence? How do I get more revelation? Oh my gosh, what have I done with the revelation I have?
That's good.
Not more of the word of the Lord speaking prophetically into my life. I need to know what to do with that. I have a stack of words from the Lord. My husband, after we went through a marriage workshop that was really amazing, that we're teaching in March, by the way. There's postcards back on the info desk. We went through a marriage workshop the first time, and he became empowered and encouraged to write over me prophetically every morning for 2.5 years. I don't need another word. I need to know what to do with that word. But he wrote prophetically over me about my motherhood. He wrote prophetically over me about different things. He wrote prophetically over me about preaching the word before I ever had a desire or an inkling that I could preach the word. And so right now I'm looking at the going, wow, have I carried all of those things? Have I carried the word of the Lord in my life? And I'm like, there's an excitement in me to go back and look and go, what do you want me to carry right now? And I'm hoping throughout this morning that the Lord's going to remind you of some things, and he's going to reignite you to carry some of the words that he's spoken over you in a different way. Okay, let me see if I'm missing anything else. Receiving a word from the Lord means that we have something to carry. And it's like this. This is not my example. I've heard this example, but I'm just going to expound on it in a larger way. Receiving a prophetic word is like a positive pregnancy test. Right? So here's this ritual. When we first got married, we had a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old. And loved that and loved parenting. And as teenagers, they were so amazing that we wanted more kids. How many of you can say that about your teenagers? We had pretty awesome kids. And so I had infertility issues. I wasn't really able to before I was ever married. I knew this was not something that was going to be easy for me. I'd had multiple surgeries. I had partial ovaries and all the things. I won't go into detail. But this was not a reality for me to be able to do this. And so when we got married, we really weren't planning on having kids. I had these two stepkids that I loved and felt really blessed to be in their lives. But they were leaving me really soon because I jumped in halfway through. And we thought, no, we want to try for this. The Lord began giving us faith. So here's the ritual. So you're trying to get pregnant, or maybe you're not trying to get pregnant and you think you might be pregnant. And so you get the little box at Walgreens or wherever. For us, we had 10 packs that we bought because if you're trying, you know, it's all the time. And so then you go and you do the thing you need to do to make the thing change the color. And I would sit it on the back of the toilet on a tissue because ew. And then I would go sit on the bed with Brian and we would sit on the bed and wait this horrible 3-minute wait. And then he would always go look because I couldn't, because I always was either, you know, I didn't want to be the one. And so lots of times it wasn't and whatever. But when it was, and here's the difference. It's 3 minutes and a second line, right? So it's one line, not pregnant, two lines, pregnant. Now they're all like fancy and they're digital and whatever. But you still have to pee on them, which I think they could come up with a better way. But anyway, so they, you know, this 3 minutes, that second line changes everything, right? Everything is different from that point forward because you're carrying something. And that is what the word of the Lord is. When the word of the Lord comes to you, a prophetic word, everything is different from that point forward. It's the second line on the pregnancy test. Nobody walks away from that and goes, oh, cool. Yeah. Anyway, nobody does that. It changes everything. And so we need to learn how to carry it. Do you know, we had, I had difficulty getting pregnant. I had difficulty carrying pregnancies. And so our first pregnancy was a miscarriage because my body didn't have what it needed to carry the seed. It didn't have everything that it needed to carry it. And so we want, when we receive the word of the Lord, we want to have what we need to carry it so that we can bring it to fruition. So, you're all pregnant, okay? Because the second line changes everything. And it should change how we move forward. Let's look at 1 Samuel. Just happens to also be a pregnancy thing, but that's not what I'm trying to pull out of this. 1 Samuel, this is the story of Hannah. So Hannah had been pining for a son and had been not able to do that. I think, I don't. Okay, let's look at chapter 1, verse 11. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Just a way of dedicating him to the Lord, that he would go to the temple. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli, he's a priest, observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and he said to her, how many of you have been accused of being drunk while you're praying? I don't know. And he said to her, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. So Hannah did not receive a baby, But she received the word of the Lord, and it changed everything for her. She got up. She, you know, got her makeup off her face. And she went and ate, and she was no longer downcast. It changed everything for her. She was pregnant before she was pregnant. Because then it goes on to say, you know, then they did this, and they went and worshipped, and then she knew her husband in that biblical way, and then she was pregnant, she had a son. And here's the other piece that I pulled out of this that was so meaningful to me, is that she dedicated the word that the Lord gave her back to the Lord. And this was something the Lord was speaking to me about in my own life, how often I get the word of the Lord. I might even be carrying the word of the Lord, but I forget that it really belongs to him. And so with the word of the Lord, we want to dedicate that back to the Lord. Even when we're carrying it, even when it's in our arms, that it can't be ours. For it can be ours in the sense of what he's given us to carry, but that we dedicate that back to the Lord continually. So that has nothing to do with where I'm headed, but that was an interesting point. Yeah. That it just reminded me of how often I've taken back the things that the Lord's given me as a gift, the things that he's given me to carry, that I've had ownership of them in a way that hasn't continually put it at the altar with the Lord. After that baby was weaned, she brought him to the temple. Is my hair weird? Okay. Maybe they make special ones for women. I don't know. Okay. Is that better? Thank you, dear. Thanks for having my back there. Okay. So here's what we need to know to carry the word of the Lord. Here's how we do it. The first thing is, we pray it. When the Lord gives us a word, it should completely change the way that we pray. Because he's given us this word, and we need to pray it. It becomes the fuel for our prayer life. How many of us, well, no, I'll just say me. Sometimes I'll be crying out to the Lord for something. Lord, I need you to do this. I need you to do this in my kid's life. I need you to do this in our finances, whatever. And he gives me a word, and then I stop talking to him about it. Right? Like, oh, okay, good. It's all good. I feel better. Whew, good. Feel better. Move on. And really, the reality is that it is the prophetic word of the Lord that should always be the fuel for our prayers. That is the thing that we pray out of. Because that means that I don't pray out of what I see, I pray out of what he said. If the fuel for my prayer is what I see, then I'm praying in reaction to what the enemy is doing. I'm praying in reaction to darkness. I'm praying in reaction to, God doesn't do anything in reaction to darkness. Jesus did nothing. When we read about the life of Jesus, he doesn't do anything in reaction to what the enemy is doing. He is speaking, walking, praying prophetically. This is what my Father said. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm praying. And so it changes the way that I pray. When I receive the word of the Lord, I continue to pray it. Mike Bickle, for those of you that don't know, he's the father of a prayer movement at IHOP, one of the 24/7 prayer movements. He said, God speaks to you about what he wants to do, and prayer is that you go back to God and tell him, you ask him to do what he said he wants to do. That's what prayer is. Here's what I want to do. Okay, God, do that. And that we continue to pray into that with him. That we continue. Not, here's what I want to do. Oh, but look what's happening over here. And then we pray based on what we see. I don't pray what I see. I pray what he said. So when I'm waiting for that to come to fruition, if God said this, I say, okay, God, do that. If God said, I want to bring a deeper unity in your marriage, that's what I pray. Okay, God, bring deeper unity in my marriage. And I continue to pray that because that's how it abides in me. That's how it lives in me, that it's something that I'm continually bringing to the Lord, and it becomes part of who I am. It moves past my head, my knowledge that this is what God said he was going to do. It gets into my heart, and then it becomes just part of who I am because I'm praying this thing back to the Lord. And it keeps me from praying the prayer of fear instead of the prayer of faith. The prayer of fear, it's prayer, but the prayer of faith, ah, that has power. Amen. And we can pray the prayer of faith. If we don't pray what we see, we pray what he said. So if you have something that you're praying into and you haven't gotten a word of the Lord about it, ask him. God, what do you want to do here? What do you want to do in this situation? Because I'm going to pray that. I'm going to stop praying out of my fear. I'm going to stop praying out of what I see. And I'm going to pray what you said. All the... my dad studied revivals. I remember us having all the books in the house always about revivals and God's generals and all the revivalists always. And I remember reading... a lot of them, not as many as he has, because there's only so many you can read. But I remember reading them and noticing that a key thing that preceded revival was prayer. It was this focused prayer, and what it was someone, God spoke to someone and said, here's what I want to do in L.A., the Azusa Street Revival, for example, in L.A., which, honestly, we're walking in the fruit of that. Like what we're walking in a lot of ways is because of things that happened there. God said, I want to do this in LA. And there was a man, there was probably several, but Frank Bartleman for 2 years prayed, okay, God, do that. To the point of it consuming him. He was consumed. He said, my life became swallowed up in prayer for what the Lord had said to me. Night and day I prayed. And I'm not saying that in the sense of, you know, we can't see a prophetic word come to pass if we don't pray 24/7. What I'm saying is we need to pray it and let it consume us in the sense of we don't just go, oh, good God, thanks you said you're going to do that. And then go, oh, it hasn't changed. Then we come back and we continue to pray what he said that he's going to do. I believe that God's bringing a renewed tenacity in prayer into us to be able to go after those things and to continue to pray into them. We get bored really easy, don't we? Like, I've already prayed that. I need a new prayer. I'm a words person. I think new, different words are always better than, you know, the same thing. And yet there is something about praying these things that the Lord has told us, even in the same words, even in the, that makes it part of who we are. It becomes, it's like, becomes part of us on a cellular level. It allows it to become faith for us. So that's the first thing. We pray it. We receive the word of the Lord, we pray it. The second thing is, it changes the way we talk. Our language matches his language about that situation. I think sometimes we just shoot ourselves in the foot because we get the word of the Lord about something, but it doesn't change the way we talk about that thing. And I'm not talking about the name it and claim it thing. Kind of I am. But, you know, the overrun of the name it and claim it thing was sometimes we were claiming things God didn't tell us. Right? Oh, I want that. I'm going to claim it. No. The purity in that is when God tells me something, I talk like that. I talk like he's going to do that. I get to match the language of heaven. And really, when the Lord speaks to me about something, I don't really have permission to talk any other way about that thing. Because he's told me what he's going to do. How many of you know you get the double line on the pregnancy test? It's not like, okay, that happens, you throw it in the garbage, or if you're us, you put it in a Ziploc and it's still in a box. But anyway, you throw it in the garbage, and And you, now I'm lost. I'm going, where is that box? No. And what were we thinking we're going to do with that? I don't know. Anyhow, and then you don't walk away from that and you don't talk about it anymore. You don't talk like, it would be like Rochelle, she came and gave a word. It would be like Rochelle walking around going, I'm never going to have another baby. I'm never, ever going to have another baby. Well, she's cute and beautiful and pregnant. You know what I mean? And that's how we are sometimes with the word of the Lord. We don't, it doesn't change the way that we talk. We continue to talk as if the Lord hasn't spoken. Give me a minute. Seriously. I think I'm going to have to practice during the week. Okay. So I think it detours us when our language doesn't line up with his language. And I think what, again, in the same way that I don't pray what I see, I pray what he said, it's not about how I feel. And yes, I want to be careful. There's a place for us being able to express our feelings about something, but ultimately our language needs to line up with what did God say about that. To the degree that we need to remind one another, not in that irritating way where you never want to speak to that person again, but in that way where we can say, okay, this is going on, this is going on. And if I really love you, what I'll say is, okay, I hear you. What did Jesus say about that? Like, I give my husband permission, because sometimes he has to do this. You know, we're praying this and God's speaking this, but this is what's going on. And I go, oh, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, okay. I give him permission. You can put me in time out to go ask what Jesus says about this. And then come back. Okay, you go find out what Jesus said. Now come back. What did Jesus say? Jesus said he's working in this situation, da, 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 da. Or if it's something about yourself, you know, well, how did preaching go today? I don't know. I missed these points and these points, and I'm pretty sure people were bored and blah, 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 blah. And okay, what did Jesus say about it? Jesus said, my word does not return void. My spirit, I forgot to say this. Oh, what did Jesus say? The Holy Spirit makes up for the things you forgot to say.
Yeah.
Right? And so it should change the way that we talk. And if we need to, we can go back again and again and go, okay, remind me, Jesus, what do you say about this? What did you say about this? Keep those things in front of you, but he can remind you on a daily basis, what are you saying? You know, it also, well, no, we'll get to that point later. Oh, here. So, do you know what tends to happen right after we get the word of the Lord? It like looks like it's impossible. So, for example, the Israelites get the word, I am taking you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Do you know what immediately followed that? They have no water. Like, this is real. In our lives too, isn't it? The Lord says, I'm doing this and this and this and this in your kids, or I'm doing this and this and this in this church, or in this city, or in this nation. And what immediately follows is no water. Milk and honey, I've been 3 days without water. And the great example to us is don't be like the Israelites. Because it changed the way they talked. The same Israelites that were dancing on the other side of the sea that was split for them, we're going, let's just go back. Did you bring us out here to die? The language of the Lord said land of milk and honey. And they began to look at what they saw, which was no water, which, by the way, I kind of feel the same way. And it changed the way they talked. I wonder if it would have been different for them. It might have been a different kind of trip. Have you ever had a vacation that you've been on that if your attitude had been better, it would have been a really great trip? I think sometimes about them, like, wow, if you guys' attitude would have been better. Probably not. Probably mine would have been worse. So, but their language didn't agree with the word of the Lord, and we need to not do that. The third thing, so it changes how you pray, it changes how you talk, is that when we receive the word of the Lord, we can prepare for it. I think sometimes we feel like we can't do that. We receive the word of the Lord and then we're kind of frozen, like, I don't know. When it shows up, I'll, you know, you're called to the, you know, Central America. Okay, good. When I have the money for that, when I have the opportunity, I'll learn to speak Spanish. That's how we prepare for the word of the Lord. Like, oh, man, I wish I had done that sooner. Right? But that we can prepare for the things that the Lord says to us. What happens when the second line shows up on the pregnancy test? Hopefully, you prepare. Everything begins to be about you. You plan things around what's happening. You begin to look at, you know, you're going to go to the doctor, you're going to connect with a midwife, you're going to, whatever, you begin to prepare. Where do I want to have this happen? And you begin to look, you start shopping. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl, I'll just buy both for now and take one back. You know, you begin to prepare. And so when that happens in our life, when we have a word of the Lord, we can begin to prepare for it. For me, one of the first areas that I prepare, because oftentimes the Lord will speak to me about a people group that he wants me to serve or to speak into, the first thing I do is I cry out to God that I would love that people group.
Yeah.
Or that I would love in that situation. That the preparation of our heart is probably more important than learning the Spanish or, you know, any of the other thing. But when he speaks the word of the Lord, so many times I look at that and I go, my heart could not carry that. It needs to be enlarged. It needs to love more. It needs to be more free. It needs to be less secure, insecure. And so I begin to do the preparation. God, help me love. When the Lord spoke to me years ago about speaking into women's lives, ministering in women's ministry, honestly, I was like, oh, Lord, help me love women. Not because I didn't like women, but I didn't have sisters. I didn't know how to do that. I didn't feel qualified for that. I felt mostly misunderstood by women. I just didn't know how to do that. I didn't have sisters. And you know what he did? He gave me sisters. I sought out relationship with women. You're going to lead women. You're going to speak to women. Maybe have coffee with one. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes we get the word of the Lord, and it's like this big thing, and we won't take the little first step. We got the word of the Lord that he was going to have us ministering to orphans and having a heart for orphans and adoption. And we pined for that for 5 years before we finally went, I think we should probably make the first step. Because we saw the big ticket. We saw the big price tag on it. We saw how much it cost to adopt. And so we just started. We went and ministered to orphans in Ukraine, and we signed up for a home study, which was a small financial piece that we could handle. And you know, when we decided and we made the first step, which I think was, like, at the time a lot for us, was like $300 for this one little piece, that was in January, and we had a baby in our home 9 months later. Actually, 8 months later, but she was 6 weeks early, so just saying. But you know what I mean? Like, sometimes we just don't take the step. We don't begin to prepare for it. We go, I know that's the word of the Lord, but I don't actually see it. Yeah, I don't see it on the horizon. And so we don't prepare in any way. You have permission to begin preparing when the Lord speaks a word to you. And sometimes we worry, like, well, what if I'm off? And what if it's, you might be. But at least you're moving. My dad always said, you can't steer a ship that's not moving. Right?
Yeah.
You also can't turn a ship very quickly.
So it's probably okay to start with some small steps, right? To just incrementally begin to move towards it, because the Lord's going to give you more revelation on what that means and what that word really is, because he's not doing the, okay, here's the destination, go get it. He's doing the GPS thing, remember? He's turn by turn. And so a lot of times we get the word of the Lord and he just is waiting for us to say, okay, what's the first step? What's the first thing you want me to do with that? It doesn't have to be a big thing. In fact, it's probably better if it's a few small things to move towards that. There's a lot of things that the Lord is beginning to give us vision for here at Living Waters. And we're going to make small steps towards some of those things together. One of the best things that I got... One of the best things that I got out of a leadership conference was a 5-minute conversation with another leader from another state. I mean, it's a whole weekend, but like this one nugget was the best thing. And he and his wife had taken a pastorate. They came from a church a lot like ours in the sense of, you know, spirit-filled and all of that. And they had taken a pastorate in a pretty rigid denominational church. And the Lord was giving them vision for where he wanted to take them and for the Holy Spirit moving in that church. And I said, how do you do that? How do you step in and not break anything while you're trying to kind of move a people towards? And he says, you know, the Lord gave me the word. He said, just tap the rudder. We sometimes want to crank the wheel, but sometimes... I don't want to take that off the table. I think sometimes God will ask us to crank the wheel. There's been some things the Lord's asked us to jump right into. But sometimes he just asks us to tap the rudder. That we're moving towards what it is that he has. You all, our leadership team, you all here are going to get really sick of hearing me say tap the rudder. Because it's like my new favorite thing. That gives me peace in knowing we're moving towards the things of the Lord. We're just tapping the rudder. And do you know why it's important to tap the rudder? In your own personal life and in the things the Lord's showing you? Because there's other ships in the harbor.
Yeah. Come on.
And that's how we avoid crashing into one another. Sometimes we're prophetic people. That means we're all carrying all these amazing prophetic things. And if we all are cranking the wheel at the same time, that could be a bad thing. So we're just going to tap the rudder. Because God's people are made to be a fleet, not just an individual ship. Right? So we're a fleet. And as the Lord moves us, he's guiding us. But we can't steer when we're not moving. We get to step into the preparation that the Lord of the word that the Lord's giving us. God wants to do something supernatural for us, but how can anything be supernatural if nothing is happening in the natural? Right? Like if I'm not doing a natural thing, how does he make something supernatural come out of that? Okay, so we prepare and we tap the rudder. The fourth thing, and I'm going to end on this obviously, is that we need to stop changing the subject. That there are some things that the Lord has spoken to us, and we get bored, or we get ADD, like spiritual ADD, and we change the subject. Or we don't see it, you know, like, again, the same thing. You see the second line on the pregnancy test. What if you don't? You just never talk about it again for 3 months. And 3 months, oh, I remember that time we had the second line on the pregnancy test. Yeah, yeah, that was cool. Anyway, where do you want to go on vacation? You know, whatever. When the Lord speaks a word to us, it's an invitation to more dialogue with him about that thing. And I believe that he is restoring to us the ability to have focus and tunnel vision on some of the things that the Lord's given us to carry. Right now, Pastor Dave is going, that will be a miracle if Renee Calva can have focus. Because he's been waiting for a long time for me just to pick a thing and do the thing. But there's a reality that God wants to give us a focus that it doesn't mean, like, for example, if the Lord's calling me to preach the word, I don't do that to the exclusion of motherhood. I don't go, well, no, this is my focus and I'm just doing this. And you know what I'm saying? Obviously, there's different areas, but you know what? Probably then I should be preaching the word in my motherhood. You know what I mean? There's things that sometimes we think have to be carried in a certain way, and the Lord's going, no, I want you to bring that into all of your life. Carry that in all of your life. Make that the thing that you're pursuing. Don't get bored. Do you know that the ads on Facebook and Instagram just keep getting shorter? Do you know why? Because our attention span is getting shorter. We can't carry the word of the Lord with a short spiritual attention span. We need to continue to have the conversation with the Lord. So this is what I'm asking as we close. Give permission to the Lord to tell you where you have changed the subject. Are there things that you have spoken to us, God, and I've changed the subject, and I've looked at done other things or focused on other things, that you want to bring my attention back to this word that you gave me so that I can really truly carry it? Give him permission to show you that. Spend some time this week being reminded of the words that the Lord has spoken over you. If you haven't gotten a prophetic word from the Lord from another person, sign up for the prophetic sessions when they come up again. And allow the Lord to continue to speak into that. Or ask him. If there's situations that you need him to speak into, ask him, God, what is your word for me in this situation? And begin to carry it in these ways. Begin to pray out of that word that he's given you. Begin to let it change the way that you talk about that situation or about that thing or about that person. Begin to prepare for it. What's one step that you can make towards that? I don't care if it's a big thing or a little thing. What's one step that you can make towards that? And then ask the Lord to help you not change the subject. Remember when you said this, God? Remember when you said this? He wants to talk about those things with you. Some of us are disappointed because the Lord has said some things to us and we don't see it. Then go back to him. Don't change the subject. Don't make it the elephant in your prayer closet. Bring it back to him. Lord, you said this. And let him speak to you about that again. So, Lord, we thank you that you are a God that speaks to your people, that you've made us a prophetic people. We thank you that you're inviting us, when you give us a word, you're inviting us to walk it out with you in intimacy. You're inviting us to keep the dialogue going. And we ask that you would anoint us in this time to carry your word to fruition. You would anoint us. There would be an empowerment to carry the word in a different way and to see it come to pass. We thank you, Lord, for the second line on the pregnancy test. And we rejoice in that. And we say it changes everything. Let it change everything for us so that we can step into it, so that faith can be accessed and your will can be done. In Jesus' name, amen.